Welcome to Lockdown Trivia. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host for this trivia podcast game. Playing with their own expert categories, players will try to unlock their brain one key at a time, but will they unlock it all? New episodes of Lockdown Trivia will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. If you'd like to play your own game of Lockdown Trivia, follow the link in the description of each episode to sign up. You'll need four expert categories and a favorite music genre. Stick around at the conclusion of each game for some bonus questions and for a commentary on the writing of the questions of that episode. While there's a lot to learn from playing trivia, there's perhaps more to learn from researching and writing it. Our guest this week is Nancy Skinner from Warren, Maine. Nancy's expert categories are comic strips, game shows, commercials, and the sound of music. Here's how Lockdown Trivia works. Players see a board in front of them with four categories and five questions of increasing difficulty in each category. The first question in each category is unlocked, but the subsequent questions require one, two, three, and four keys respectively to open. Players earn keys by answering consecutive questions correctly. If a player misses a question, I will take all of their keys. Players can only open questions for which they have a sufficient number of keys. If the player is in a pinch, they have five bonus questions available to them that cannot break a streak or hurt them, but will give them an extra key each if they answer them correctly. A perfect score in Lockdown Trivia is 25 points. All right, Nancy, you know the rules of Lockdown Trivia now. Are you ready to begin your game?
I am ready to go. Let's do this thing.
What are you feeling for the start of your game today?
Well, let's get to some comic strips.
All right. In comic strips, I will poorly describe the premise of a comic strip. You'll have to guess which one it is. For example, a bald child and his depressed dog have existential crises while flying kites and missing footballs. Nobody wins ever.
That
is the
Peanuts.
Yes, so that's how that will work. This is inspired by the fact that I've always had comic strips around but never really knew what they were about. So that's what kind of prompted this. So your unlocked comic strips question is this. A cat bullies his lonely owner and gaslights a dog while sleeping through most of the week, especially Mondays.
That is Garfield.
That would be Garfield, yes. I liked that live-action movie a lot as a kid. I don't know if that was a loved movie for everybody. In retrospect, it might have been a bad movie, but I really loved it.
Oh, yeah. It was fun.
Fun is fair enough. I imagine my parents got tired of making me watch it over and over and over again, though.
We all have those movies.
What is your next question with your key you've got from
Let's
Garfield?
Let's stick with comic strips.
All right. Your one key comic strip question is this. A small anarchist and his imaginary feline sidekick wage war on adulthood using cardboard boxes and snowmen.
This is my favorite. This is Calvin and Hobbes.
It is Calvin and Hobbes, yes. What's next up?
Let's take those two keys into comic strips.
We're going to keep rolling with the category. Here is your two-key question. A penguin, a hairdryer, and various misfits attempt to save America using 1980s pop culture references and unlicensed therapy.
All right. Want to make sure I'm picking the right one. So we are going to go with Bloom County.
That is a good thing you did. It is Bloom County. Are there many comic strips that have a penguin, hairdryer, and other misfits all in the same strip?
You know, I'm trying to think it out carefully, just not go with a gut shot. There's just want to talk out my thought process because that's gotten me in trouble, as you may hear on other podcasts in the near future.
Yeah. I'll never live down missing an anatomy question when I got to choose it first thing, because I jumped so fast, so confidently, and ran into a brick wall. So I can empathize with the good strategy there, but it's part of what's got you three keys. Are we going to keep going with the category or jump somewhere else?
Yes, let's keep going.
All right. Your three-key comic strip question is this. Cows, nerds, and cavemen live in an alternate universe where logic is optional and glasses make you a genius.
This sounds like it could be the Wizard of Id. No, I blew it. Yep. This is BC.
What is your guess here? You can talk this one out.
I think I got tripped up because I think it may be the same artist, but I'm going to go with BC on this one.
Well, Nancy, unfortunately, I'm going to have to take your keys for the first time this game. This is a poor description
of
the Far Side.
Yes, it is. That's okay.
The Far Side is the correct answer there. But no need to worry. You did very well to start your game and have plenty of places to play still. With no keys, where are we going to go next?
We'll go to commercials.
Commercials. Here are just some of my favorites or most iconic. And before we started recording, I let Lancey know this is not my lifetime, her lifetime. This is all over the place. So here we go. Your unlocked commercial question is this. Few companies have used animal mascots as well as Anheuser-Busch with their Clydesdales, animated frogs, and what bull terrier dog mascot?
Like Tone Loke said, Spuds McKenzie.
Spuds McKenzie is correct. The same breed of dog in Toy Story that Sid has.
Yes, I
thought about writing the question from that angle and decided let's leave Toy Story out of this. All right. One key is back in your pocket.
And we will use that on the one key commercials question.
We'll stick with commercials. Here is the next question. Capturing the counterculture wave of the late 60s, what soda brand found new life when it advertised its product as the Un-Cola?
The Un-Cola. I'm seeing crisp and clean and no caffeine. The Un-Cola. Jeffrey Holder, I believe his name was. This is 7-Up.
It is 7-Up, and the four-key version of that question might have asked you for Jeffrey, but you didn't need it. Congratulations on the second key in your pocket from 7-Up. We're going to keep going. Is this the strategy we're going to be employing this game? What are we thinking here?
We're going to keep on the same frame of mind here. Stick with commercials.
All right. Your two-key commercial question is this. What Korean car company hilariously spoofed Michael Cimbello's Maniac in a commercial showing one of their salesmen dancing and eventually having water dumped on himself?
All right. Well, this commercial doesn't sound super familiar to me, but I do happen to drive a Korean car. So I'm going to go with Subaru.
It's not a bad guess. There's a few of them. Unfortunately, it is not the right guess either. This was a Kia commercial.
Okay.
And I, of all the commercial questions, I cannot emphasize enough, you need to go watch this when we're done recording. It is hysterical.
I will definitely
hysterical.
Check that out because it sounds like a riot.
I will actually probably just send you a link to all these because they're just great to listen to again. But unfortunately, I have to take your keys, Nancy. Plenty of places to go
that
still.
That is all
What's
right.
Next?
Let's go to game show hosts.
All right. In this category, I will give Nancy the name of a game show. She will have to tell me three hosts, at least, I suppose, who mm-hmm. have been on that show for credit. So here is the unlocked game show. Hint, Family Feud.
All right. Very carefully now. Richard Dawson, Ray Combs, and Richard Karn. Vindication, Richard Karn.
See, not only are you correct, but my first Family Feud experience in my life was watching Richard Karn do it. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate the shout out to Richard Karn. Who needs the new and is he the most tenured one now? Has Steve Harvey done it longer than any
Steve
of them?
Steve may have done it the longest. I think so at this point.
The other ones that were on that list, if I'm not mistaken, would have been John O'Hurley and Louis Anderson. Yep. So that is the host of at least the American Family Feud as we know it. So you got it. And you've got a key. What's next?
I will take my key and I'll go to the game show hosts.
All right. The next game show to identify three hosts of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Okay. Regis Philbin, whose hand I did shake when I was on, but I didn't get in the hot seat, so no drama there. Terry Crews and Meredith Vieira.
Three correct answers. Well done. Otherwise, do you have guesses on who the rest of them would be?
I feel like, did Cedric the Entertainer do it?
He did.
Okay. And I know there's another one. He might be like somewhere, one of those Bachelor-type host guys. I can't pull his name, though.
The other two, recent two, actually, are Chris Harrison.
That's the guy I'm thinking of.
And Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yep.
On the nighttime version. Yep.
Yes, it is. All right. Two keys from game show hosts.
Two keys for game show hosts.
All right. Next question is this. The $100,000 pyramid.
Okay. So we've got Michael Strahan currently doing it. We have Dick Clark, of course, did it. Now I just have to pull one in the middle, and I'm going to try for John Davidson.
That is correct. Whew. Dick Clark, John Davidson, Michael Strahan, all correct answers. We also have Bill Cullen,
Of course.
Donny Osmond.
That's right. He did that.
And Mike Richards.
He shall not be named.
We have one name on the bottom of Nancy's $100,000 pyramid there, but we have a correct answer nonetheless.
Yes.
Three keys in your pocket, Nancy. Rolling in game shows.
Number three, please.
All right. Next clue is this. Match game.
Match game. So we've got Gene Rayburn. We have Alec Baldwin. And we have Vicki Lawrence Schultz.
Unfortunately, Nancy, since she was a panelist on Match Game, but not one of the hosts of it, I will have to mark that one incorrect.
That is okay.
The other host...
It's possible I hallucinated that one.
That's totally fine. The other host, you got the first and last correct, of course. Mm-hmm. We had Ross Schaefer and Michael Berger.
Sure. That's a guy.
That's a person that we definitely think of when we think of Match Game, yes. All right. That three-key wall has been troubling you,
but okay.
We have places to play still. What's up next?
Let's hit the Sound of Music.
Your unlocked Sound of Music question is this. The real Von Trapp family didn't escape over the Alps, but got on a train to what country that was also part of the Axis powers?
They went to Italy.
Italy is correct, yes. The closest geographical ally to Germany at the time. Yep. One key back in your pocket. We have swept the unlocked questions. Congratulations on that.
Woo-hoo.
You love to say you would hope that would happen on expert categories, so there's that. All right, where would you like to go next?
Take my key to the Sound of Music.
All right, one key Sound of Music question is this. The final song of the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical collaboration was what tune that was so convincing audiences overwhelmingly thought it was an actual Austrian folk song?
That is Edelweiss.
It is Edelweiss. I was surprised to learn that that was the last song they did together. I saw that and knew that had to make the show. I guess I thought they worked later than the mid-50s, but I didn't realize that, was it Hammerstein died in 1960?
Well, I think Edelweiss was one that was, well, I know Confidence was done specifically for the movie, as was Something Good. But yeah, Edelweiss was one of the last ones they did together.
Where to next?
The Sound of Music.
All right. What pop star performed a tribute to The Sound of Music at the 2015 Oscars, prompting a 10-year friendship with Julie Andrews?
Oh, 2015, huh? All right. This one is not familiar to me, so I'm going to just... She collaborates with a lot of the older folks, so I'm going to try for Lady Gaga.
Good way into that question, because you are correct. Lady Gaga did an awesome Sound of Music tribute at the 2015 Oscars, and I encourage everyone to go check that out again if they haven't seen it a while.
Oh, I believe she did.
Nancy, you've got three keys now, and for the first time in the game, we really do have some decisions to make. Whether you want to stay in Sound of Music or go to commercials, contrarily, you could use your bonus questions, but now you have some choices on what's the most comfortable expert category for you.
Let's try the three-key commercial.
Back to commercials we go. The Subaru didn't pan out, but we'll see if this one does. Before he was famous for Law & Order, Dick Wolf was credited with the famous and controversial Flyme commercials for what now-defunct airplane company?
I got a coin flip here. It's going to be Pan Am or it's going to be PWA. And I just saw something, a special on PBS about the history of flight attendants and the rights that they had to get just to work properly. But anyway, Flyme is going to be Pan Am.
I'm going to give this to you because Pan Am is who purchased this company because it's what this company became. But National Airlines is the Cheryl Flyme and whatever, all the different Flyme commercials. But yeah, Dick Wolf did all those, believe it or not.
Oof.
I learned that because of John Oliver. but we'll give you credit for that. And why? Because it's my show. And I decided that technically National Airlines became Pan Am Airlines, and therefore it works.
Defunct too.
Yeah, well, there's that. And that's why I think it's a fairly answered question. So, four keys in your pocket now, and it breaks the game open to whatever you are most confident in for a four-key or potentially a three-key question.
Let's try comic strips for four keys.
The hypothetically hardest comic strip clue is this. Political satire disguised as a soap opera where everyone ages, has opinions, and owns at least one talking appliance or hallucination.
Probably not Doomsbury. Yeah, that one is not striking a familiar note at all, so I'm just gonna have to fall onto Doomsbury, because that's the only political satire one I can pull at the second.
Well, I'm glad it's where you fell, because it's a cushion. It is correct. Doomsbury is what I was describing poorly there. So, plenty of keys to go wherever you want.
Sweating. All right, let's do the four-key commercial.
All right. Your hypothetically hardest commercial question is this. Mm-hmm. What mortgage lending company with a patriotic-sounding name that collapsed in 2007 had a series of hilarious commercials advising you don't judge too quickly?
Sorry, for a second, I thought Liberty Mutual? No, they still exist, and they're not a mortgage company. So let's try Washington Mutual.
Not a bad guess in the American-sounding realm, but this one is AmeriQuest.
Okay.
AmeriQuest. These are my favorite commercials of all time. excited to send you those links as well.
Definitely.
Nancy, unfortunately, I have to take your keys, and now we play the bonus question game.
Bonus questions.
Yes. Where would you like to start with your bonus questions today?
Let's try when in the world.
All right. And this bonus question, I'll give you three things that happened, and you'll try to identify the exact year they all happened in. Here we go.
All right.
SCOTUS ruled local governments cannot require the Lord's Prayer or Bible verses in public schools. Country music star Patsy Cline died in a small plane crash in Tennessee. The British television science fiction series Doctor Who premiered.
All right, this is going to be early 60s. Because I know, how many times did I watch Sweet Dreams on HBO? that biopic. About 80 gajillion. All right, we're going to go with 1964.
Nancy, you are so close.
That's okay.
This is the year everything happened, as it's sometimes called. This is 1963.
That's okay.
That's one of those, how do you write a 1963 question without mentioning JFK
questions?
Without
going right to the obvious one.
Yes. all right, so didn't hit that bonus question, but you've got four more tries to get three correct answers.
All right.
What's up next?
National Blank Day.
Today is National Library Workers Day. Okay. So here's a question about something quiet. Here we go.
All right.
A Quiet Thing is a tune from the musical Flora the Red Menace in 1974, sung by what iconic actress who also has a very famous mother?
Well, if we're talking about an iconic actress who has a famous mother who would have been acted in 1974, I think I will shoot my shot with Liza Minnelli.
You shot your shot and you hit your target. Liza Minnelli is correct, who recently appeared on RuPaul's Drag Race. Surprisingly, recently appeared.
She's a riot, and she's just game for anything.
Yeah. Even when she's been struggling with health, she is still having a great time, and I love
that
for her.
And exactly. Considering how young mom died, I love that for her.
Yeah. All right. Well, you got one out of four. You need to get another. What's up next?
Let's try before and after.
Here is your before and after clue. One of the most iconic villain theme songs of all time from The Empire Strikes Back plays in the background as an army of flightless birds travel through Antarctica in a 2005 documentary.
The Imperial March of the Penguins.
You got it very fast. that was inspired, of course, by our tariffs on our flightless friends. But I'm glad you got that.
At the McDonald and Heard Islands, curse them.
Yes. I'm going to get the penguin holding the fish up with Resist shirt. I'm just going to get it.
I love that shirt.
All right. You are doing what you got to do to get back to your question so far.
All right. Let's try next? Stormy trivia, something that I should know.
Something I think you should know. Mm-hmm. Since your username on Discord and Twitch is Aunt Nancy, here's a question about an aunt.
All right.
Here we go. What aunt from Little Women who shares her name with a month is a rich widow who disapproves of her daughter-in-law's charitable work?
All right. So that narrows it down. I've never read Little Women. I know. Terrible.
Haven't seen the movie either?
No, none of them. I think I may have caught a clip of the earliest one with June Allison. All right, so it's probably not Aunt May, because that is too Spider-Man. I'm going to go with Aunt June for June Allison.
Aunt May and Aunt June are both wonderful names for an aunt, but believe it or not, her name is Aunt March.
Okay.
So,
oh, because it's their last name.
Yes, there you go.
See, silly me, I was looking for a first name, Doof.
Yes, of course. But that's now you need to go read or watch Little Women.
All right.
There you
go. Time for some deep cuts.
Yeah, and this is it here.
This
deep cut question, if you can identify the band or artist that these five songs come from their first album, you will get back into your questions and continue to play. If not, our game will be over.
All right, I'm ready.
Ready. Here we go. Your songs. Holly, A Silent Partner in a Three-Way Love Affair. Sweet Harmony, Wanna Know My Mind, and The Family Song. This comes from Nancy's Motown request.
And these are definitely some deep cuts. That is for sure. All right, let's try. And really, this is an absolute stone guess. We're going to go with Sly and the Family Stone.
Nancy, unfortunately, our game is going to end right there today. These are five songs from Smokey Robinson's first album.
Oh, okay. All right.
And also the longest title of any deep cuts clue that's happened up to this point with A Silent Partner in a Three-Way Love Affair.
That's almost a country title.
I'm saying. Well, Nancy, let's count this up here. We've got 15 points today.
Yeah.
A pretty solid score here for Lockdown Trivia. Any thoughts, fears, comments, hopes, desires?
Oh, I love this. This was a fantastic game. I had the best time. I encourage everybody to sign up and play, because Dalton is just a fantastic question crafter.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm glad you were here. It's fun to have seen you play against you online in Russ's Trivia on Tuesdays for a while now. And just know that's, Aunt Nancy's there. And we kind of go back and forth and chat a little more than most people do, I think. We kind of banter back and forth, which I always enjoy. So it's been nice to have you on here. And do you have anything coming up? Anything you want to shout out or spotlight before you get out of here today?
Support your local podcasters. They do a lot of work to give you just a little bit of joy.
It is just a little bit sometimes. Well, thank you, Nancy, for coming on. You were a joy to be here. I'm excited to get you back on the show again and find some more expert categories for you. But in the meantime, stay well, and I'll see you later tonight when we play against each other in Trivia Online.
See you later.
Thanks again, Nancy, for coming on. She is a wonderful person and a wonderful trivia player. So I look forward to continually competing against her on our Tuesday Night Online Trivia and look forward to having her as a lockdown guest again in future seasons. I want to talk about the use of AI as a tool in trivia writing for this, and specifically highlight the comic strips explained poorly category from this episode. Comic strips are not something I know a lot about. I'm aware of titles and some key characters, but what they were or the themes of them throughout time was definitely not something I felt comfortable researching and writing with integrity. So what did I do? I went to ChatGPT and I asked ChatGPT, hey, explain the premise of these 10 comic strips and listed them poorly. And it gave kind of a long explanation. So I said, make it a briefer explanation. And then it gave a more pub trivia length clue. And so then I take those, what is given to me, I Daltonify them and how I talk and what words I would use instead. And then just double check with someone that knows the topic that this is still definitely that comic strip and not any other comic strip in the clues. AI is something that is a tool we have that needs to be used responsibly. It is a tool that can be used to, you know, act like it's your own work, or it can be used to make you have to work less but still authentically be your original work. I encourage anyone writing trivia in high quantity to find ways to incorporate AI into that process for them. It could be a research tool. You can just ask ChatGPT, hey, tell me the top 10 most important things about insert topic here. And it just gets you thinking a little bit. You could use it how I did and say, explain these poorly, and then take it and make it your own. And you could, you know, double check questions that you have and make sure that it would answer the same way that you're looking for. So I encourage anyone who's writing trivia, especially if they're writing a lot of trivia, to see what the AI tools that are out there can do to make their life easier. Obviously, it's important to make sure you are presenting original work, but it does save you a lot of work in the long run if you use it responsibly. So a big fan, and you may see that in future episodes. Our bonus clue from this game comes from the game show category, and it is this. Do your best to name three hosts of Lingo. While you're thinking over that, I want to thank Nancy one more time for being on this episode of Lockdown Trivia and invite you to be on your own episode. Click the link in the description of each episode to sign up. All you'll need is four extra categories and a favorite music genre. The hosts of Lingo have been Michael Reagan, Ralph Andrews, Chuck Woolery, Bill Ingvall, and RuPaul. Check back every Wednesday morning for some more Lockdown Trivia fun. I'm Dalton McGee, and I've been your host. I can't wait to continue to play and continue to learn as we try to unlock your brain one key at a time. Oh, and hey, by the way, have you reviewed the show? Give it those 5 stars, leave a positive comment, let other folks know why you're listening. I appreciate that very, very much. And we'll see you guys next week for some more Lockdown Trivia. Believe it or not, there was very little editing of this episode, so there's not one of those bloopers I tend to put at the end, but I will say I didn't win trivia playing later that night. GG's, Nancy.